We're here to talk about Hatchism and how you can make the world a better place for those who care about from the keyboards, regardless of your background or skill set. All you need here is a passion to create positive change. We'll be sharing lots of resources, but you don't have to memorize any of them because we'll be sharing a link to this presentation at the end. So just focus on enjoying this talk.
Yeah, okay. So one thing that we noticed in our research is 2024 is a year. Obviously, when you're seeing this sub in non-security research about contagion, they're handling reports, activists are a threat actor, woo, scary, right? And, what's happening here? We know that 50% of the world has national elections this year. That's not one, right? Every country has civil unrest, of political change, and we're going to see the end of January, December, and the echoes of that date is in here. And we have one book saying there's all the Hamza debate.
Yeah, so these articles with the rise of Pakistan all sound pretty negative and scary and in a comfort zone. So I thought for this recapping articles did not be more recognizive of Pakistan writings. That's all I hear. Let's initially talk about.
I'm not the show. Surveyed since and program the heat aid. And I'm gonna go with it. Yeah. I founded the Zico Trips of Harm over a decade ago, where we teach folks how to use digital tools to switch back against surveillance and harm, especially if harm's one for auto or cabinet internationally working with activists and supporting harm's one the most targeted group on the internet that anyone who identifies and the woman and men or you get their rewarding. We were with tech workers, training folks, serve books, Black and Brown community in inner city, and everywhere. You know what I'm saying? And my motto is in great descriptive scripts, that's how you got it wrong. I'm also a guide surveillance special, or it's a private security industry where many in the year do assignments all in the world.
Great, my name is Zeta Thea. I'm a VSLon. I came to the US around 8 years ago for a university. I have a bachelor's degree in philosophy and then a master's in cybersecurity. Also, security clubs, cybersecurity experts, hackers, and also the CEO of CyberLixir. I've been working in nonprofit organizations as U.S. defenders globally to keep them safe from violent threats and also advance their missions. My motto is to spread the truth. I aim to create positive change while having fun. And the ball is time to you with drops from the wet.
Imagine there's a protest. Imagine there's a march. Imagine there are just people collected in a room. Some people they write letters, some people talk to like the people, some people hope. And let's just say if 100 different people out for an hour and we did it around the streets, that's what we like to take up to 100 hours. And it feels good running now long, and it feels good, that not enough people are also fighting for common change. You let the seam out. But after an hour, you all believe it was just a waste. What? But some of those people are artists. Some of those people are carpenters. Some of these people are lifters like you here. Some of these people are hafters. What if we just took the time and were like, y'all separate for 15 minutes and come up with something. Y'all over here, let's do a dance for a barn and get expressive art, about women, and we would actually have put in a thousand gold medal for bank and for the beach. And this is like what our talk is about, is a different way to look at things, a paradigm shift, where we're trying to build things, right? And we're going to talk to you about hacktivism as something that is just civil hacktivism. We all care about something, and we're going to take our computer skills, our accounting skills, our creative skills, our limited performance theory, our professional theories, come together with a group of people and actually build something. How is that?
Okay.
So Matt just touched upon one of the many challenges that organizers say, resource education. Organizers rely on donations, they rely on volunteers, they rely on human goodwill. So they tend to operate as limited financial and technical resources. So how did they efficiently use their limited resources to spread the message to act for their cause? And all of the respect of themselves, that's a lot of things. Finding people with shared values and their shared passions and both are crucial to build a strong movement. Surveillance were being hacked as being monitored all the time. How would organizers protect their sensitive information, sensitive communications from systems that they challenge, from systems that want to remain in power, from systems that want them to stay in finance? Censorship then can include blocking access to vital information, spreading disinformation, or even creating internet shutdowns to undermine activities. Cyber attacks are also based suspicious efforts. So all these challenges can't be mitigated by the using technology. This is where hacktivists shine.
So we could have just threw a dart and hit a bunch of different issues, and we decided to just go across the gambit. We're not saying that these are awesome issues that we support. We're not saying that these are terrible issues that we don't like. They're just part of our research. So, you know, you might see something and be like, oh, I don't agree with that group or whatever. You know, we just want you to get engaged in whatever your issues are, whatever causes you believe, whatever neighbors you're trying to help. Like, that is, we win, right? So, yeah, let's move on.
Yeah, so organizers have realized that they can mitigate and overcome many of their challenges with strategic use of technology. So several weeks ago, there was a mass protest in Kenya against government's financial bill. What happened there? What caused it? Well, a group of Gen Z in Kenya was sharing videos of them explaining the consequences of this banana bill in different dialects. And people in various regions across Kenya were able to unite for their cause. And their viral videos and hashtags also put a lot of pressure on Kenyan political government officials. So no funding, no problem. Just use social media to mobilize for your cause. If you can't attend a protest, you participate in a social protest. So TikTok users were sharing videos of them just telling each other that they should be throwing a ticket to the Trump rally with no intention of showing up. So eventually, Trump ended up with a rally that had, like, that looks really empty.
Yeah, and the thing about the Trump rally was they thought it was all down because the R2Bs and different lined up, right? And it came out to less than half the room filled with people. Right? So, you know, we get to be creative and we can do a lot of things from our keyboard. You know, we can have a tower of conference room full of people with one keyboard.
Well, LulzSec, one of the most notable hacktivist groups out there. LulzSec is a reference to LOL, which is Laugh Out Loud, and SEC is security. A lot of people believe that LulzSec just want to make fun of their victims, just want to embarrass them, doing all these hacks just for fun. But actually, they engaged in a lot of politically motivated attacks against big corporations and Muslim governments. An example is the Operation Amrit Security. And Yellen Warden was they were able to do all these attacks for like 2 days. And they weren't put on the list because they were extremely good hackers. They did great encryption practices. They had great operation security in place. So they were able to cover the track very well.
I'm going to talk about some things that are more recent. I'm going to go from LulzSec to the conflict in Ukraine. And in this area, there's quite a few hacktivist groups. Basically, what happened is you already know that many governments have hackers working there, whether that's like in the military or the Ministry of Information, you know, and even our own have like, you know, we originally had them in a Stratcom, and then they splintered off into all these different divisions. You know, FBI has their own, CIA has their own, NSA has their own, and there's even the Cyber Command now, right? Well, Ukraine didn't have its own. It had an IT contractor. And so when the Russian troops started marching towards Kiev, he just got on and made a Google form and was like, look, we need, I guess, some kind of hacking response. If you want to help, fill out this form. And People did from all over. He was shocked by the response from all over the world. And he was like, well, what do I use to keep everyone together? And so he started a Telegram group that's called the IT Army of Ukraine, because, you know, he's an IT person. Got to rep the IT. And in it, just regular people took on huge feats of activism, things that you'd probably be in prison for 10 years for, but I guess because the target was the nation of Russia, people looked the other way. And in that group, clusters of other groups formed. There's a group called Squad 303. Squad 303 made a website and a tool because of censorship. Your average Russian was like, this is just a military operation, or this is something to fight fascism. And you would go to the website and it would just randomly call a person in Russia, and you could just talk to them and read the news to them to fight censorship. And that was active for a long period of time. There's a group called NB65, which is like a network, and the network bulletin 65, right? And they actually, or was a network broadcast, I forget, but was it? Battalion, that's right. Battalion, because I already know them as like Blue Hornet, because, you know, sorry, but yeah, Network Battalion 65. And then there's Against the West, which became Blue Hornet, which is not against the West. I guess there's like a weird, they're like, no, we go against who's against the West. If you're against the West, you're our target. You know, maybe a little bit of slight confusion with the name there, but, and they also built tools. And one of the most prominent tools in this Telegram group was a DDoS tool called Death by a Thousand Needles. And the thing about this tool that was instrumental was someone would program the code, and they can tell, like, put a list of targets, and all you needed to do was turn it on from your computer. So you didn't need to know what you were doing. And, you know, soon they were like, you know, do it from a VPN, because this is an open Telegram group, and there's like FMB, Russian intelligence, in this group. But people were just grabbing versions of Death by a Thousand Needles and off and running. And even to this day, at this point, the IT Army has a website, and they have a little software kit and instructions, step one, step two, step three. And you're doing major crimes with the tap of two keyboards. And a lot of these groups use GitHub for software distribution, but also to put manifestos and communicate to the masses. It's something that we've never, ever seen before, because had you done this 5 years ago, you'd be under the jail, right? Yeah, so I do a lot of work in civil rights and racial justice, and I assist groups like Black Lives Matter and the Movement for Black Lives. In 2016, just on the issue of cyber attacks, the Black Lives Matter website was hit with a major DDoS from GhostBlock, which is like an anonymous offshoot, you know. And they were kind of like, well, we kind of agree with you guys, but we don't agree with something. So, you know, we're emailing you to say, like, if you just make this statement, we'll be cool. Otherwise, you can face a DDoS. I'm not sure anyone read that. Honestly, they were busy. So, the DDoS happened, and it was massive, and it took the entire movement off the rails. So we're not just talking about digital tools as an instrument for organizers to use, but that can't be used against organizers. And if it wasn't for the Canadian cybersecurity firm Equality, the fight would still be on the ground. And they were able to absorb that with their Deflect technology, which is a really great anti-DDoS tool if you want to get it from Equality. And they were able to get the site back up in a day. And I want to also talk for M4BL, more towards the George Floyd's where he went than one, Movement for Black Lives, they were facing a thing where people bring cameras to protest to document abuse and document violence and to do citizen journalism. And those very followed the target guests on Virgil and Works, where people were saying, we need from Google the address of when every phone that was within this range on these dates of this building or this street corner or whatever. And so again, the technology that people were taught would keep them safe was actually used to track and lead to charges. Now, in recent times, because of Follow Bro, Google has changed the way that their mapping technology works. So geomen warrants are allowed clone view and allow them like practical for law enforcement to do at a tool or external fork around the world. Now, there are many organizations committed to features digital activism. They're all really disparate. Like, some of them are bloggers, just, you know, do research and, like, you know, NetPolitik in Germany, It's basically like two spirit people just riding off of the and having with amatorial powers. You know what I'm saying? We already know like the birds just rise up. You know, back of the days, the Babel of Seattle up until today, right? Assisting us with infrastructure that we could use, VPNs, websites, encrypted messaging platforms and collaboration platforms, et cetera. I don't want to like go through step by step because I know they told us we had to cut down on time, but I just wanted to get some props to groups because each one of these were truly just very inventive and imaginative on how they support. And it just shows that you don't need to be technical technical, like I'm just going to hack into a database or whatever. You can write about the database. You can just win attention, shine lights on things, you know.
So what is hacktivism? Hacktivism is the use of creative technology to promote a political agenda or bring about social change. Hacktivists care about raising social awareness, exposing wrongdoing, or supporting a cause that don't care about financial gain or just causing her for the fun of it. Illegal hacking can lead to a lot of serious legal consequences, so keep this cost in mind. It's a very huge cost, and we want you to be around and fight for positive social change with us. That is why we encourage safe and legal hacking, or digital activism, aka hacktivism.
Yeah, I mean, this is the one of the low cost. If I'm hungry, this is sorted, but please understand one. If you throw a rock or a Molotov or hit someone over the head, you'll pay just one set of charges. If you grab a keyboard to create tape, you're going to announce a completely different bowl of fronting because an example will be made of you. Because people know what was just wrong with them, right? So, you don't get 10 years for bankless wheat pasting, things like that, you know? But, you just such a keyboard to do something and you could fit various these charging deal on the standard of charmless. You gotta deploy your up. You know, it's not, we can't lean on EFF all day, you know, and Kurt can't be saving like 20,000 hackers out there. So they gotta be smart and manage and schedule the risk. Can
so these are the areas that hacktivists can really shine. And in the next few slides, we'll talk about each of these areas with examples and also how you can participate in this form of hacktivism. So just quickly going through the list, we'll talk about raising awareness using digital platforms, lead digital security workshops, secure systems and devices, improve honest access to technology, and help directly impacted communities tackle social issues using tech. All right, time to evolve into digital activists. All right, first we have raising awareness using digital platforms. So there's been like a skepticism with social media, like it's full of misinformation, it's not serious enough, full of distraction. TikTok bans this whole health quality, that and the thing. But we can't ignore how fast social media can spread information, right? So Gen Z for Change and Human Rights Watch, they've been using social media very effectively to create like content, informative content to educate people about different bullying issues, to mobilize support, and help them and teach them about ways in which they can, what they can do about these social issues. On my digital platforms, Cyberlinks are on Instagram and also TikTok. I teach people about cybersecurity issues, privacy issues, and also best practices when it comes to these issues as well. Also, like my content and viral videos can get like millions of views really fast. Do you want to say something?
Well, yeah, I'll just simply say on it's weird. It's not one thing that necessarily I would make up this do first, but you can't really sleep on it as a tool. You're really able to just reach other people. And I'm really so on social media, but in the time that we've just looked for our people reach out to me. I think I'm nerdy people down the street. I mean, it was on planning to start messaging me, you know? And in my travels, it was, oh, you know, that damn book you made or this video you put out, that's why we ended up specifically, you let me get into that. So, yeah. But however, I would say, you know, if you are going to be a global media firm and you're in orange, just understand that higher room your day up on the internet, there's a lot of ways to do that, including free ways where you can just, and you could just so beauty is in road is often the day records. However, if they bad time and you're not time rich, you could pay full to remove you off the internet and the other services that we get talked about.
Yeah, so when you start raising awareness using digital platforms, one of the first things that I highly advise people do is to remove the data of the internet. Because when you're out there, you're shining a spotlight on yourself, and a lot of people will be curious of your personal information, like your home address, which is why it's important to do this step. So to do this, you can use automated removal data services like Delete.ly, Incotme, Canary, and also the free service called CommissionSlip by Vasur Report is really good as well. Then it's just evaluate the cost and benefits of speaking out online. So the benefits would be, you gain supporters, you have more people aware of these social issues. But at the same time, you will also attract people who disagree with you, like haters, and this all piece people can lead to cyber threats and online harassment, and these can lead to distractions and problems in general. So you should be prepared. When you start a social media account that is dedicated to your cause, you should follow good OPSEC. So make sure that your account is secure. And just create content that you feel passionate about. Teach people things that you're an expert in. Like I'm a cybersecurity expert, so I talk a lot about cybersecurity. I bring down difficult concepts and teach people about cybersecurity news. Also share stories of marginalized voices and do collaborative content with other activists.
Account was that in a special with the email or a phone number or a secondary account. And now I require you and, be sure to then say to $7, $1 and paying money to get a call in matter column and getting a service on that number for a computer time to screen you with the cap. Because if you cut borders and you don't ease early, that could be the one strand of sweaters that I'm closing for all apart. In our research, we know that people in court cases, that's what I'm not ever in business. Just like, had they just said $30, they wouldn't be taking charges and, pointing out verbal lawyer fees.
Another thing you can do is making a broadcast channel if you don't want to use social media. So one of the ways in which we will show you in the next few slides is creating a broadcast channel using Signal. So by doing this, you can kind of hide your identity, you don't have to be out there. And broadcast channels are like one-way communication. So if you want to teach people about security best practices, we're telling them about current cyber threats, you can just message the group and many people will, get the messages. You don't even have to stay with them.
So one thing about making your own channel, it's setting up your own newspaper distribution service. You don't have to worry about a lot of noise and other things happening. If you're I myself, even when I'm hope is in 2 weeks, I can't miss it because my phone starts blowing up. I'm in 20 different Signal groups, all these different threads following you. I can't even, you missed 500 messages. I can't catch up with that. So when you have a broadcast channel, there's only 5 messages. Because we don't need that's a good idea. Of course. It's the encrypted message version of reply all. You know what I'm saying? So we don't need that. So this is one-way communication, and only the admins can rank in it. And it's just a setting change. You make a regular Signal group. You go into the group settings, and you just make a change so only admins can talk. So now everyone else is just listening. And because we all have these usernames, I know you lost your friends' phone numbers, but we all have usernames now on Signal. It's less of a threat of the entire group being used as a phone number list that can be researched, okay? At the end of the day, you install any version of Signal. Obviously, mobile phone is preferred, No disrespect to desktop. You create a new group, not going there. And then what you do is just go into the group settings and edit the permissions and change it to admins only, and then you're good to go. People who are in the group can use emojis. So you could even say stuff hey y'all, if you want to eat at vegan food at 3, just react to this post. And if you don't, I would want to be able to vote and have some level of interaction. And Signal groups are capped at 1,000 people, but that's a really great way to distribute information to your spouse. Now, if you want to make it an open group with a link that's open, you can have radios, you don't know, and, you know, adding into that up to your 1,000, and you can set up district groups for district sections of your music, you know. Now, another thing that you can do, again, in the Liebel-Seist hacktivism paradigm shift talk that this is, okay, is to lead digital security workshops. Now, there are groups like EFF and Tactical Tent that make really good, you know, educational content, and they allow people to lead these workshops. There's groups like Night Through Crypto Harlem. Those people Crypto Harlem, you know, you hear people being, and we make all kinds of great content. And we make sure our content is translated in different languages, English, Spanish, Italian, Ukrainian, Russian, et cetera, for all the different, you know, there's something popping off in a part of the world where people speak Portuguese, we translate for you. You know, if it's happening to live in a big friend, whether that's in Europe or Africa, we translate that for you. So,
let's go to the next thing.
Now, leading a digital security workshop, there's an article on Vice Motherboard. And in that article, it's the Crypto Harlem style way to do it. Then it says Hooper, who was on the previous panel, who also helped out that article, and Rachel and Martin Shondon. Now, when you lead a workshop, you just find a group that you want to support. Be like, listen, no group has time for that person who's going to handle all of the security stuff. So you just feel like, I'll take some of that and I'll help you with some of this educational stuff, whether it's one organizer or a whole organization full of organizers, and lead from behind. You know, then you don't show up like open in this diary, so you know that's wrong, never do this, and this is how I could do stuff. It's really about understanding the organization and helping them get safer, right? There is no real thing. You know, you're not in the business of making real change happen and doing it in a way where you're staying safe. If you're pushing against the status quo, it's gonna push back, bounce our elbows. But, you know, we make sure that the damage is mitigated, and that's how we do it. You don't have to be an expert. A lot of people will be like, yeah, but I'm not you, man. So what you can do is just learn together. You can have a reader group. You get out a learning group. You can say, you know what? I don't know this that well, but we should know this. And let's start learning together. We'll take our hardest lessons and put it in a box and just get an expert even in for them. You know, like, I like when people come up to me, you know, I have a notebook with just our 10 questions. What about this? What about this? Well, this is happening. What about that? And I'm like, I got you. Okay, when you are finding an expert, find someone who's worked with folks like you, because your risk is tied to your identity. So they have a different colored passport that they can't pronounce the places you're worried about, might not be the expert for you. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, your identity, like, I can't change the fact that I have dark skin and dope purple hair right now. You know what I'm saying? So I got to keep that in mind, and I might want to find someone with dyed hair and ask them about this advice. So that's how, you know, just throwing that out there. And research the tactics, techniques, and procedures that actually occur from, you know, the groups on the other side. Again, there would be no fabric crime, and there'd be no viruses or malware if people just stopped. So war is over if you want it, right? So same kind of thing. So what you do is just say, I can't block punches if I don't know what a punch looks like. I've never thrown a punch. I've never tried to punch anything, right? So a lot of groups are worried about everything, but their adversary is just jumped to them. You know, they're not fighting for their liberation. If the 9 to 5, they got complaints, they're worried they got passed up on a promotion. There's 4 things that they can start to look for things. And the history of other organizers like you, or the history of other organizations like you, is a hint to what you need to be concerned about or where you need to start.
All right, secure systems and devices. So there are lots of groups out there who are helping nonprofit organizations, activists, and human rights defenders protect their systems. Cyber Peace Institute, they provide cybersecurity support, like vulnerability assessment, cybersecurity consulting, and also some incident response access. Now, they have a digital security helpline that is available 24/7 to, you know, like all these high-risk groups as well. So if they have a cyber attack, they have someone to talk to. NGO ISAC, so ISAC stands for Information Sharing Analysis Center. This group has nonprofits representatives and also cybersecurity specialists like Matt and I'm a member, and Matt, the support member of NGO ISAC. So basically what we do is we share threat intel to each other, because NGOs, typically they face similar threats, right? And we talk about how we can help them deal with these threats.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because in the ISAC, I might be a group that has to lead different politicians to me. You know what I'm saying? But we're sharing IP address and domain. And he says, I'm like, look, I don't want y'all to just get crushed like that. You know what I'm saying? You're just a nonprofit or a civil society. And you're just like other women that I agree with. We all in the same thing. If you can't find an expert, the actors now help find is great. You can send them a question, and they'll send you a very well researched, and they have a team all around the world. They deal with a lot of major threats. You know, they found that the Mexico for Beloit and Gimara system, did you know it delivered having the strangest from the front of all day? And that it's that the food land that I mean a lot that is right. So, you know, they're like a huge eye side to the back, and they get all these questions that they spawn trends. So if you might not realize that you're facing or the issue you have might be, you know, really useful to them to spot a major problem someone.
All right, so how could you help organizers secure the system that they bought in? First, you should learn about the summit threats organizers you care about need assistance with. If you have a policy here, you can reach out and then you should do your research and learn about like different methods they're facing. So do they experience lots of internet blackouts? Do they experience like malware that spy on their activities? Do they experience lots of bouncing? So learning about these can help you protect them better. Also learn individual and operational security skills to help activist groups secure their data. So this thing is not taught in security program or my man physics security program. These are the things that we need to do research and security framework, which was created by the Consumer Report. They do a lot, they have a lot of great resources on individual security.
Yeah, I just want to add all that as well. You know, you might have read this article and not the about now, a group of the same, you know, activists, they were using Proton Mail, which is like, okay, Proton Mail, cool, no problem, right? But it said, what do you want if you get locked out? What the backup email can you use? You know what I'm saying? And they were using Wire, they used Proton Mail, and the backup email was somebody in Apple Mail. And each of those three companies, as any company will, this will happen to, was given a request for user information to one person, which, you know, they can fight with the lawyer, when most kind not, they are on comply. Because they need to stay open, you know, they're businesses, they're capitalist businesses, if they buy services for money. So, you know what I'm saying? The vending machine, we can afford if you fuck a bullet can out, is broken if they don't do that. So, understanding that that's not on them to look out for you on the opposite, and the stability of that view on the onset. You know what I mean? So, teaching onset is really helpful. If you can teach it by just reading articles as fans, right? Once you know what I'm saying, you know, you can help people avoid those sales. It's like the same thing if competed in our research would be a totally Italian yet. Okay.
Yeah, and you can help them secure if you don't have like a lot of knowledge in the area, because I know I was taught like individual security or how to detect activists who have like super high risk. Then you can check out the Amnesty Tech Lab resources that have very helpful guides and different types of cyber attacks that NGOs and high risk organizers face. And how to protect them from those. So once again, you know, like school and certificates will teach you these things. You have to be driven by your passion, by your desire to protect these people.
And then, yeah, that Annie's International Security Lab, it just launched like a month ago, and it's like, it's really the model resource. So, you know, you're definitely getting much of the need, even if you're seasonal. Directly impacted communities, you know, they're facing a lot of issues and a social issue. And technology is not gonna fall to those issues. We can't like, you know, Ruby on Rails your way out of racism. It's not to happen, you know? So, but what we can do is we can say, how can we use technology in the force multiplier to make things better, you know, say, so they're like, you gotta, you know, people who are directly impacted by something, it's like a boot on their net. They already have solutions. They might have generational solutions. You can just say, oh, that's so cool. I see what you do there. Are you aware of Signal? We could replicate the same thing in a different way and reach more people. But it was your original thing. I see time and time again, a lot of test for beta tests. People come in, and they just showed up yesterday, and they're like, you don't know about this? The solution is Mastodon, you know, fix. And it's like, well, listen to these folks, and then apply it to what you know, and then peanut butter and jelly comes together, and it's a dopest solution, you know?
So these are some of the examples where people contributed to causes using their tech skills, basically. So that top
thing over there is Gen Z for Change. So they're like just Gen Zs wanting to make social change happen, and they like to create automatic like apps and codes that do these things where they contact, automatically send messages to White House representatives about like, hey, you need to like care about this cause and like please don't ignore us, that sort of thing. So a few years ago, Signal was asking people around the world to help Iranian access the encrypted apps because there was a lot of problems with internet blackouts in Iran. And Signal was asking people to set up like proxy servers, and their guides were really beginners friendly. Anyone could set up proxy servers so Iranians could have internet access. Do you want to?
Yeah, and with Hacks, Leaks, and Revelation by Michael F. Lee, which is, you know, Undapped is here, I hope, and you can pick up the book in the nerd area, but it's a complete book, and it walks you through, like, I have a computer and I have internet access, and on the other side of this, you know how to finally get access to the process leak, find the information at the NLD, and then do whatever you want with it on an expert level. And it's very well written, doesn't matter if it's growing that PC, that Linux, whatever. And you do have to like buy the hard drive, that's not cheating. You might have to set up a DigitalOcean account with a monthly fee. There's anything like that involved, but it all started along the arc of his multi-security concern, just starting thinking about what's involved. One of the examples in there is Luli, which is a law court at the anonymous kept by Dump Dirk, the first wave of like Black Lives Matter protests in the United States. And a little known fact of like, this reporting on what is Luli, that reporting is like 99-10% of the lead. I found like there was a Guardian article about something that was at Luli just 2 years ago. And you know, saying, so that leak is just still a treasure trove of information. It's just so massive. As I was reading the leak that the book tells you how to get access to, or the leak said that you get access to, you know, when to ask, you know, it's really, most people haven't even reported about any of it. You can tap your finger and report on the shoulder of, here's real evidence I found or something, and it's like no one's ever heard of it, you know what I'm saying? So this book is adding your revelations. And definitely point to it for folks who are beginning their journey, their hacktivist journey. You know what I'm saying? Centering directly impacted communities, I already started on this, is like, you know, they are experts in the issues they face, right? You love this thing and you care about this cause, but if they're backed against the wall, they're very intimately involved with this thing. And they just want a little more breathing room. Start with them, they will help you, you know? Also, if you're just like, I want to start, but I don't know where to start, there are local issues or local examples of huge global issues. So if you're like, look, I'm far away from East Africa, I'm not in Kenya, I see what's going on with the protest there. There might be a student group inside, you know, university behind you, or their own international student from Kenya meeting all tough all the time. And they might have access to like leadership back home or whatever. So by helping someone to write down this beef from you, you can have global international change. So people sleep on that, and it's important to just think about how we're all interconnected, right? You know, a lot of community leaders, people you might say like, oh, I like what this person has to say. Whether, you know, like in my community, there's a group called Gang Coalition, and they're fighting if the NYPD gang did this, right? Which is like a suspicious person has a database that you can get on, even though no one tells you. And it's impossible to get on from knowing that you're off of this list. There are like, you know, children on the list and all this other stuff. But the worst thing about it is if you get arrested and you end up in court, they'll just say like, this person is on the game, this is what I am, you know? And they don't face completely different charges. So, you know, they're a local group and they need tools and apps and all that stuff. And, you know, they sit down and, you know, Crypto Harlem reps them and goes to their events and stuff. And it's a good way to actually bring a really strong hacktivist edge to a group that's been fighting this for a long time. Okay. And community members care about this project more than you do. You're gonna get bored with this project, right? Even something that you build and you're like, this is the hottest thing, I love it. You know, like, you could look like a kitchen tile at your GitHub, it's like mad commits and all this other stuff, you know? Well, it's gonna drop off, it always does. If this is the one thing that someone knows how to do or one group knows how to do, they will be seeing it forever. Maybe they'll be bored being that video repo, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, just always have that like transition plan, okay? Have that energy distribution plan. Because nobody, when I meet them on day one, is like, no, I'm gonna get sick of this app. They never think that. I meet people on year 10, and they're like, I can't stand this thing. Why do I have to maintain it? What the world, what do I owe the world? I want to make house right now. Because they didn't have someone who was always in the wings to take over. You need that site.
I improve others' access to technology. So having reliable internet access is extremely crucial for education, for work, for civic participation, and for while in most cases. Detroit Community Technology Projects, Red Hook Wi-Fi, NYC Mesh, they all are community-driven initiatives to provide free Wi-Fi hotspots to the communities. And the supporters all, like, they learned how to set up Wi-Fi in the communities. They became superheroes in the communities. And this, like, initiatives like this bridge visual denied gas. And, you know, like, when there are internet blackouts in other countries as well, initiatives like eSIM donations are also extremely important. Like, in the case of Straza, people needed to stay connected to their families or a little bit of information on how to stay safe. You know, these sims are very important. So if you have, like, some coding skills, you can contribute to projects that have to do with open source software, because open source softwares are free and accessible to many people. Support communities, Wi-Fi hotspot, and community broadband initiatives. So as I mentioned, those groups, you know, if you volunteer for them, they'll teach you how to set up Wi-Fi hotspot in your community. And you become your community superhero. And you don't need any technical backgrounds at all. Distributed refurbished devices will have a lot of technology, just like being upgraded every year, right? And so just like refurbishing these devices and redistributing them is a great way to like help people with low income people. And it's also environmentally friendly.
Yeah, like I work at a group called Urgent Work, an order charging citizens, people formerly incarcerated at combined incarceration. And when you meet up, you forget, like, you know, iPhone can't go on the past 10 years, you know? So it's like imagine you were frozen in ice, and then you just start off like Captain America, and you walk through Times Square, like, what is this? So people don't know how to engage with, like, a touchscreen, because it wasn't like that, you know? You know, they're like, hey, Siri, I need to do this. ChatGPT. Yo, people's brave, you know, when I show cat movies too. You know, it's like, wait, the bitches, shopping for us is like mighty melting for someone who's been put away, right? So people come back, you know, one thing that the Harlem does is we distribute end-of-life devices. I'm like, listen, this device is not state. There's no security updates on that. Right now, that's just 6 or 7 years, but it's just brand new laptop. And you need a brand new laptop, they can find a job on the internet. I got you, you know what I mean? So go to the Upper East Side, like Manhattan, dressed as fancy as you can, and go to Norway's. Take off some, like, beer, shoes, CDs, and ham radio equipment, and, you know, say, so electronics and wireless and phones, and just break that to the people, to the masses. This amazing hacktivist energy that people are just so grateful and so excited, and it's heartwarming.
Right, finally, creating accessible guides and resources for non-tech-savvy individuals is also very important because a lot of people feel intimidated by tech. You know, like, we use phones and laptops all the time, so we're not aware of how these things can be very difficult to use for some people, like older people. So yeah, just like showing them that they use these devices can bridge the knowledge gap and help them participate in all these organizers' activities.
Okay, so quick reading list, all right? This book, Plus Chaos, 10 Years of Hacking and Media Activism, is a rare example of a hacktivist group just going on the record and showing old chat logs and interviews and, you know, warts and all, embarrassing things, success stories, all kinds of stuff. If you're not familiar with the Italian group, I'm going to butcher this because I'm not Italian. Ostisi Invitanti, yes, I will mean. Their infrastructure keeps up stolen, lessening, and progressive organization securitism day, okay? You can think of it as like, it's, you know, rise up of a cappuccino, otherwise espresso, okay? And this book is solid. If you want to see a copy of it, come to the Crypto Ireland booth. We tried to bring some stuff from our library for you to check out. We keep mentioning Hacks, Leaks, and Revelations for a reason. This book is the truth. It's just a technical, color my number step by step, all right? People might know chapter one or chapter two, but they don't know chapter five. If you cover to cover this book, you really be left in the future for real, okay? Molly is the Coming Swarm is a book of a day and age that didn't happen, but maybe could happen, where DDoS is used as a weapon all at night to make positive and other political change. And then there's the academic book by Gabriel Coleman, props to you, Gab, Hacker, Hoaxer, Whistleblower, Spy. It's interesting because, you know, we're not going to be able to chart an author of the pact of this future if we don't understand the extent of the mistakes of the past, you know what I'm saying? So regardless of like what the group is doing, we all can learn from that and make new mistakes, fighting horrible failures. But all of us say the remedy is just by read, you know what I'm saying? Just don't do that.
All right, so we want to end this presentation with a reminder that the power to create positive change is within your fingertips, right? So let's build a better world. Let's become hacktivists. Have your time.
Yeah.
Oh, let's look after the extended.
Not until that was even better.
Or 15 more.
I see it.
I think, do we have any time for questions or not?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. 10 minutes. Yo, tack it in. First question, pre crypto all night. We'll lie, no lie. No catch. For real, group.
But what? Sit on my high that our cap way in the never be.
To that, see it with very tactics. For example, the no show at the Trump rally was the fact.
Yeah, sure.
But that's kind of anecdotal. I was wondering whether there's maybe some data on that. You know, like these candidates are effective up to this scale.
Yeah, for sure.
And in particular, boycotts.
Oh, we had a question about advocacy. Yes, these are interesting thumb hacks, but do they really work? And what the long tail effect of this? And specifically, like a boycott, you know what I'm saying? Well, it depends on like what you're really trying to do. All right, I'll give you a somewhat unrelated but related thing. Uncle Wild, you know what I'm saying? You know, and prop blowing out for this mention how it go. Okay, and there was a group from the Shenzhen Animal Rights Activists, and they were a very small group, but really good storytelling. And all they wanted to do was take out one particular laboratory company that was ordering monkeys, you know, that they might stuff it down. And they did, right? Because they were like, how do we get to these people? And well, people care about money, they care about for seeds, they care about live love. And they targeted those sins. They have like 5,000 people marching, many people doing another game. Netflix, the Hannibal people, watch that movie, I guess. This kind of strategic strategy where you're not putting your ego, your pride, and you know, you're not talking about being famous, it always is. Okay, and I give you more and more examples, but check out the handle of people on the clips, okay? Next question. Oh, wait.
There are also.
On my bed.
Go on. There are also studies on how matches for tactics are as well. So, I've read like your studies because I was being in your person as well. So, there are like studies on how effective, you know, like, if you disagree with certain conversations and how effective that is to them getting in my contract to government. So there are lots of studies out there. And also when it comes to analyzing how effective something is, on the protesters, motivations and goals and like, so when it comes to the initial protest, they wanted to, like, fight Trump, they wanted to have like an empty rally, right? So that's just it at the end. And then got a lot of like news talking about because that was such a creative way to use technology.
Yeah, but it's like once you got attention, what do you do? For like you can't get lost in the such half because they thought, okay, let's say this stuff blow up and we have all this year, the what are in baby boy, the media is in who's on in give rose not on with vision, you know, here you were under so. You got to think of a little few tattoos of the head that he did.
The link to all the information from your talk, I can't scan that QR code from here.
No worries.
Tell me what the link is.
Yeah, we have a link. I'm going to tell you right now, okay? The link is a bitty link. I swear it's not the link. Okay, you go to bit.ly
Okay. Glass hole. 2024 has to do with one award. So it all lowercase. I hate when people put complicated bit.ly in because they can't handle it. Again, so it's bit.ly/hope 2024 after this of 101. Thank you for that. Appreciate it.
20 type boy, what?
Not a question, but you talk about how you might start a software project, tell you to find yourself tethered to it 10 years later with no exit plan.
That's correct.
Something I was told at Red Cross, which has paid Oprah and well throughout the years, is train your replacement from the day they arrive, not the day
you think you're leaving. Thank you. This will be bound by, there's another one. What's that? This is with a fake question, so we've commented about the comment. So I'm the echo of the comment. But they would train your replacement from the day they arrive, not the day it won bullet. And that's really good advice. But keep your time is time, keep your energy just writing. Don't let any give us up. Elaborate on both, though. I know it's dominated in Vegas, so that's a little bit. Okay. That's hearing of the feedback on that. You got it. Okay. Any other questions? I already lost the hat. I'll learn how to bribe for questions. Come on. Yeah, question.
So, one of the things I'm interested in doing is the town that I'm from, I want to. Spread the word of the importance of encryption. But some of the friends that I have who are interested in helping me don't necessarily want to implement into tools like VGA, verifying signal, or kind of like learning the basics. So if I kind of like a set of table on the border or something like that, I think not pamphlets. What advice do you have for in the likely / possibly likely event that law enforcement would come and hassle you, harass
you, what? To get tools for that. Sure. So this was about a person to carry body encryption, they want to work in their community, they want to get the worry out. They're afraid of hatred, but they don't see their like allies in exactly their version. We should, at least that, would be doing this stuff, right? And I used to walk around my neighborhood for like 6 hours in Hart, West City East. In the free school, painting off flyers, and people be like, yeah, nah, girl, I'm not. So I would pick it up if you don't want to handle it, make yourself a word for it. So, I mean, they can't keep flyers well to rent, you know, and to do more homely, you know? But it's not about me in a long time to do. So you want to give me a version, but you want to end the encryption, so they need to use it, but yet these people one day when that happens, just some of the encryption there. Don't get lost to the box. You know, just be like, look, if you want to climb inside the capital directory, we'll worry about that. You do get a good Griffin, okay? Like, if I'm a teacher, I'm just seeking literacy. You know, high people were on ES chain directly. So I'm just going to teach you literacy. If you want to read Kalibun, whatever. You want to read a Dirt for Cancer and develop that, that's cool too. But I just teach for, you know what I'm saying? So it's painful because you're going to get like this video, why do I need to have a rough act? It's either why I want to understand all this in the court. The fact that you get your own rid of it will get it. You'll get it bad, okay?
And the open case of words have actual things with full addressing or understanding what's talking them if they're not use certain things, like why you're doing like what that, what else they want to do think of. And maybe it's just trouble with studying them or like trouble to understand the threats that that they face with non-union churches have. So if I don't know it's like the concern is that the question is that you didn't get loyalty jumps that used encryption.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just like be humble, be friendly, leave a glove, all that good stuff, smiles, all that good stuff, you know what I'm saying? Any last minute questions? Zero time. Don't be blessed, question. Do not believe that question, cat. Okay. We're very
thank you. What? I can take it like.
Well, thank you so much, Hulu.